We're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 7, and the way that I do things now in terms of slides, I don't have like 7,000 words behind me on slides. I try and encourage you to actually open up your Bibles, or if you have a phone, you want to scroll up to find Matthew 7, so either a Bible or a phone, because one of the ways that we can actually learn about the Bible is to see it in context. And it's also an opportunity for you to check for heresy for me when you're looking into the words that I'm talking about, that I'm not just making it up. And I'm joking, but partly serious there, that actually some people do just make it up. So Matthew 7, verses 24 to 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. It's a familiar passage, but just look at verse 24 as the beginning. Therefore, everyone who does what? Hears my words. Growing up, and for many years, if you're even familiar with this passage, we think about standing on the rock, and we think about following Jesus, and Jesus is the one whom we can have our foundations in. But it's actually about hearing, notice that, hearing the words that Jesus taught. It's hearing his words, these words of mine, and then what? Doing nothing? Being laissez-faire, apathetic, can't be bothered? No, it's about putting them into practice. Okay, so that is really the hub of this message this morning. And if we just like go from here and we're thinking about pizza or whatever it is, it's like, this is it, okay? Hear these words of mine, put them into practice. Let me just give you that again. You're going to hear it a few times. Hear these words of mine and put them into practice. Okay, because we can so often hear the words but not put them into practice. And so when we put them into practice, having heard them, we are building the right foundations. All of us are building a house this morning, but where are the foundations? We are all building, we are all constructing, but where are the foundations for you? Where are the foundations for me? You may have heard of a tool hire company called Gap. I don't know, maybe somebody in the congregation works for them, called Gap, not the clothes shop where it was once trendy to wear the hoodie, but no longer. Gap, the tool hire company, they hire out tools. So I spoke to Colin Haxton last week, and I said, could you get me a power drill, a meaty power drill that I can have and I can use? And he said, yeah, sure. So he arranged it. I went up there on Friday, feeling a little bit out of place, because if you know me well, I'm not a very practical guy. And so I have this beast of a drill here, okay? This is not a briefcase. So it's a bit of a challenge for me to even actually open the thing the right way up. That's how practical I am. So, yeah, sure. So anyway, I'm opening this thing up, and as I'm opening it up, it's smelling really industrial. These are smells that I never normally smell. Smelling like plasticky and concrete. Look at this beast here. Look. That's like proper drill, isn't it, right? So I've got this massive drill here, and you can drill down into concrete with this drill here. You fancy another washing line or something. You've got to drill a hole in the concrete patio. You want another washing line. Drill down. This is the kind of thing you're going to need, because it's not going to, a regular domestic drill is not going to work. So you need something like this. But anyway, if I put it back and I just leave the drill in the box there, it's been designed for a purpose to drill holes and to make a difference. And if I just leave it in the box, then basically what's going to happen is it's not going to fulfill its purpose. And that can be a bit like us, that we've been made in God's image and we've been enabled to actually know who he is, to listen to his words and put it into practice. Yet we live in an age where there's just so much information that we often struggle to hear God, and secondly, struggle to put into practice what God has to say. So it's like we're a drill that's powerful, but is sitting in the box, that we're not actually fulfilling what God has designed us to be. And there's a book by a guy called Kevin Van Hooser, which is quite a meaty book. So if you like meaty books, that's fine. And it's called Hearers and Doers. It's about making disciples. And in that, he says this, which I found very challenging and also helpful. He says that I worry that we are sleepwalking our way through life, asleep at the wheel of our own existence, going through the motions, but not really paying attention to whose story we inhabit. We may think that we're engaged in the real world of salaries, taxes, home repairs, and politics, but in fact, we're caught in what C.S. Lewis calls the Shadowlands. If consciousness was a cinema, what film would we be playing most of the time? What is probably going through our minds at any given moment is either the world news, and I'll update his quote, coronavirus, because that seems to be all the media are talking about, a family crisis, what's immediately in front of us, a long-term plan, or a YouTube video. So we have all this information that's there going around our head, facing us, and in the midst of that, it's as if we're sleepwalking, that we're not quite hearing who God is because there's all this stuff. And I face that stuff and you face that stuff. And I think more than ever, young people face more stuff than they've ever faced in previous generations. But whether we're young or middle-aged or senior, we all need to be awake and not sleepwalking with this stuff that's there. We need to be hearing who God is, but putting it into practice. God wants us to hear him, but to be awake to him. He wants us to put into practice the truth of his word, to be shaped by it and to walk in it. And this is the difference between hearing the word and practicing the word. If we just hear the word, we can know stuff, but we don't practice it, then we're not truly awake and embodying and living the truth. And the chances are we're going to embody and listen to other stuff that will shape the house that we are building. And so I've got two main points this morning. And the first point I'm going to take most of the time on. The second point I'm going to spend less time on. So if you're thinking, well, wait a minute, he hasn't got to point two yet. Don't worry, because most of the time is on point one. Okay, so what happens when we listen to God's word and put it into practice? That is the key question. What happens when we listen to God's word and put it into practice? I know this is incredibly simple stuff right here this morning. It is for me and probably for you, but it's harder to do. So we hear the word, we put it into practice. That's what a follower of Jesus is. They hear what his teachings are, that he came, that he lived amongst us, that Jesus died and rose again, ascended to heaven, is coming back, and we put it into practice. So we can hear his word and ignore it, or we can put it into practice. And in this parable, Jesus wants the listeners and us to hear the word and to act on it. In verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And I found a really challenging quote by a guy called Marshall Siegel, which is kind of confusing because we've got Marshall and Martin Seeger. So I just want to clarify, it's not a combination of the two, but it's another guy, he really does exist, he's called Marshall Siegel. And he says this, we subtly or overtly build homes on comfort, privacy, entertainment, and safety without making room for God himself to speak. Does that sound familiar to you? Because it's kind of familiar to me. It's what I'm tempted to do myself when I operate in the flesh. That the premise of most Western culture is that we look to build a home on comfort, on privacy. This is MySpace. Hey, come on. There used to actually be a trendy music site called MySpace that no longer is. On privacy, this is MySpace. On entertainment, no, I've been busy all week. I need a veg. I just need a veg on the couch here. I just need entertainment. I need safety. My goodness, they've run out of hand sanitizers. I've been trying everywhere. Armageddon is coming. And all these things that we're doing is without making often room to hear God himself speak. You see, that's why you often struggle to grow in your faith and be aware of who God is, because there's all this other stuff that you're looking to build your house on. And that's why I struggle with it. And what it's about identifying is that this very familiar parable, which isn't just a Sunday school kind of tale, is that when the various rains of various trials fall, he goes on in this quote, or the floods of crisis come, or the winds of life beat against us, the once strong house suddenly falls apart. Can you not see the falsity of what you and I, as part of this Western culture, are often doing? Is that what we think brings us comfort, what we think brings us privacy, entertainment, safety, what we think will bring us what we need, will actually fall down when the storms come. And I face storms, and you face storms, and we get storm damage on the house. Christians are not immune from the storms. But if we build our house on the wrong foundation, we are heading for destruction. We are not heading for life. But Marshall Siegel goes on to say, build your home instead on the rock. Allow his voice, to be the regular, stabilizing, guiding, shaping, correcting, and comforting foundation under your lives. Don't you want that? You see, it's like the other stuff is like sweets, or hey, go have 5 donuts. You're like, oh, this is great, you know, Krispy Kreme donuts. But after your 4th one, you're like, oh man, this doesn't, I'm feeling a bit rough here. But when you taste what is good, good for your soul and good for now and good for eternity, we know that we want that. We want to build our home instead on the rock and allow his voice to be the regular, stabilizing, guiding, shaping, correcting, and comforting foundation under your lives. We are all searching for stability and firm foundations, and we will not find it unless we look to Christ, who is our firm foundation. So when we listen to his word and we put them into practice, we're building on the right foundations. How do we know that? Verse 25, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. So the house was taking a battering, yet it did not fall because what? It had its foundations on the rock. It got battered. It maybe have lost a couple of windows, but it didn't fall because its foundation was on the rock. And many a times when we think about this parable, we're thinking about it in isolation. We're just thinking about, well, actually, I think we build our lives on Jesus. And actually, Jesus is quite a nice guy. And you know, I think he may have had a beard and he loved people and things like that. But it's actually talking about basing our lives on the word, on the teaching of Jesus. And how do we know that? Well, if you've got a finger in the Bible, you won't have time to read this all right now, but maybe over a donut later or something healthier. You can read in chapters 5, 6, and 7 what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And why this parable is so important and should not just be relegated to some fuzzy belt Fuzzy Felt Sunday School story is because it's the last thing that Jesus teaches on in the Sermon of the Mount. And that means it's important. It means it's really, really important. Because what has he been teaching? So the way that you and the way that I can live life is by following not just some idea about Jesus, but his teachings, the Word of God. And so I want us to just briefly look at one of those sections in Matthew 5, which is talking about the Beatitudes within the Sermon on the Mount. And we did a whole series on this last year. And I have to be honest with you, is that I was teaching that and I got it and I kind of took that to heart. But I don't think that I really properly got the Beatitudes until the Holy Spirit was really working, as he has been over the last 9-10 months in my life, to show me what some of this stuff really means when you live in it. So you can know about the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. You can know about the Word. But until you actually go through that and experience some of that stuff, it's very hard to say, well, actually, yeah, now I own it. And God has been working in me, and he wants to work on us as leaders, and he wants to work on us as a church, and he wants to show us the beauty of what it is to be refined by him. That when we humble ourselves and pray, he will bring revival. And we have a choice where we either humble ourselves in the midst of the storms, or he will humble us. And I want to say this in a loving way as one of your pastors, is that the reason we're taking time on this is because I don't want for you to build on the sand. I don't want for you to build on the wrong foundations and go through the unnecessary pain of doing that and wasting your life, thinking that you're finding life by building on the sand. Because it's a loving thing, and I want you to hear this, is that the way that I mostly pastor here is through his Word. And I don't want you to go down the wrong road, and I don't want you to waste your life. Because when we build on the foundations that is in Christ, we will find life, and we will find wholeness in Christ. And I just get a sense that some of you are just building on the wrong foundations right now. I think some of you are building on the sand. And it isn't that you're going and you're doing drugs and you're sleeping around. But it's that we are following the ways of this world, which is not building on the rock. And so in the Beatitudes it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So you want to know and you want to taste what God's teaching is in reality, then you need to be broken. You want to know what it is to be blessed, then you are broken before him, on your knees crying out to him, God, I'm just so broken here, and I have to come to a place where I accept my brokenness, that I don't want to be pretending that I'm something that I'm not, because that is building on the sand, and that does not survive in the storm. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's not a case of losing a loved one and just quickly moving on. It's not a case of hoping that you would get that job or that relationship didn't work out. But that we, when we face these storms, we mourn rightfully. We mourn. We cry. We're sad. We're on our knees wailing out to God. Go through the Psalms. Go through Lamentations. We are so bad at lamenting as a culture that we need to encourage one another to rightfully mourn, to let it out. So many of our pastoral problems are that we just do not bring our brokenness to God. We do not bring our grief to God. It's like we've just got to park it. It's got to keep going on here. It's got to keep battering on. But the storms keep coming, don't they? The storms keep coming. So you just park one storm. I'm sorry to say, but there's going to be another storm around the corner. We just heard this week, a good friend of ours in her 50s has just got cancer. And she's got to have pretty major surgery. But you just kind of go, oh man, Lord, it's another storm. It's another storm. It's so painful for her. But life is not Love Island. Life is not a romantic movie. Life is not the perfect life with a picket fence. Life is full of brokenness and grief and hurt and disappointment. And God wants us to enter into that and bring it to Him. Because blessed are those who mourn, for what? They will be comforted. So when you properly mourn the life that you thought that you were supposed to have but you didn't have, you will encounter a comfort that you've never felt in your life. That God will meet with you wherever you are. Doesn't mean to say that the windows might not get broken or the door might not get kicked in by the storm, but that when we bring this brokenness, we come on our knees, I'm seeking you. Might we be a people that just cannot leave our houses without being on our knees and crying out to God for our lives, our family, our culture, our generation. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, we all hunger and thirst. You are hungry right now. I'm not just talking about the teenage boys in the room. You are hungry for meaning. You are hungry to be satisfied. You are thirsty right now, and you need that thirst quenched. And the way that we do that is we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We hunger and thirst for Him. We seek Him first beyond anything else. And so what it means is this. It means that to listen to God's word and practice the word of God is to embrace all that even a section of the Sermon Mount is talking about. It's to embrace God's word. And that's why we need to be reading God's word, listening to God's word, and practicing what it says. Because if we don't, we're no different to an amazing, powerful tool sitting in its case that's not being used. In other parts of the Sermon of the Mount, just one other two verses says in Matthew chapter 7, if you're in your Bible, you can flick there. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You see, we're not going through any door or any gate to find life in Jesus. It is going through the narrow gate. And when you see it, you are to go through it. Lots of people are going through the big, wide, obvious gates in life. But when the Holy Spirit reveals to you who Jesus is and the need to follow Jesus, it's a narrow gate that we're drawn to. And when we see that Jesus, through His death on the cross, enables us to enter through that gate, we will see that we will find life. But the narrow gate leads to a narrow path, which is bumpy, and He never promises that you will have an easy life. But the wide gate, it's easy. Everyone is going down the wide gate. But He never promises an easy life. He says that there's going to be storms. But as if individuals and as a church, we hear what He says and we put it into practice by the Holy Spirit, we will see life. as we build our foundations on him. And we can look to social media and get our identity in social media. We can take shortcuts with relationships. We can try and find life in money, in experiences, in success, but we need to see that the only way that we will find true life, the only way that we will hit the bedrock is in Jesus, is when we look to Christ. My daughter-in-law, which is not a phrase that I use that often in public, Rebecca's father is a builder and he has his own firm and builds bespoke houses in Northern Ireland. And I'm good at knocking things down and stripping things off walls, but I'm not very good at constructing things. Okay, it's not the way my brain works. So it will take me like a whole day to make an IKEA flat pack, in which case there'll be about 5 screws missing. It'll be all over the place. And amazingly, Amazing Grace, she can knock that out in about 3 hours, and she's way better than me. That's, her brain is wired. I make things with words. And I construct things with words. I just don't do the heavy practical stuff or intricate, detailed practical stuff. So I asked my daughter-in-law's father, I said, what's the best kind of land to build on? And he replied, rock. And I thought, rock? Well, it says it in the Bible. And he then said, it's making foundations on rock. I said, is making foundations on rocky land much harder? He said, it's way harder to build foundations on rocky land. You need special hydraulic equipment to smash through the rock to get to it. But the firmer the ground, the more stable it will be. Now, in case you're an engineer and you've got complaints about this, yes, you can build on land that is clay-like and even soft. But the point is you need to build foundations. And we need to see that in order that we have our lives built on Christ, we need to have the Holy Spirit come and show us as the hydraulic drill, if you like, that we need to dig down deep into him. And the key is that we take on board what he says and we put it into practice. We need to listen to his word and put it into practice. But the second point, and it's my last point as we move towards the close, I did tell you that the first point was the main point. The second point is what happens when we listen to God's word and don't put it into practice. What happens when we listen to God's word, we just don't put it into practice. Flat out, I hear it, I'm not going to do it. Matthew 7:26 says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is what? Like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, but it fell with a great crash. So we can hear what God says and don't respond, and we're foolish. John Stott says that the fool could not be bothered with foundations and was content to build on the sand. Now, I've known this story for all these years, and I always thought in a kind of cartoon form that here was the man building on the rock and here was the man building on the sand. But in actual fact, what we've got is foundations being built on the rock and another house that has absolutely no foundations, which is utterly ridiculous, isn't it? To think that you would build a house on sand with no foundations, of course it was going to collapse. Well, we could be tempted to take the shortcut. Building foundations is too hard. Building on the rock will take too long. Building on the rock will mean I need to use that tool. I don't have that tool. Building on the rock will cost me more time. It will cost me more money. I just want to get this thing done. I just want to build this house. I don't really care if it needs foundations. I need it up. I need it right now, and I need it yesterday. So we're tempted to build on the sand and not build any foundations. But look what happens when you hear God's word and you don't put it into practice. Verse 27, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. It's simple, it's profound, and it's obvious, but do we listen to God's word and then put it into practice? If we don't, the house will crash. So in closing, do we want to know true stability today? If we're honest, all of us want to know true stability. And in verses 28 and 29 of that passage in Matthew 7, it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Not amazed because he was a nice guy, he was a loving guy, but they're amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Jesus had authority because Jesus is the Son of God. That's why he makes a change and a difference in our lives. So do you want to build on something that will last forever? Then look to the architect. Look to the builder. Look to the starter and the finisher. Look to the Alpha and the Omega. Look to the Lord King Jesus. He is the master builder. He is the one who is your firm foundation. He is the one who is with you in the storms that you are experiencing right now, even today, even in this place. Look to the one who speaks truth. Kevin Van Hooser says that discipleship is a call, a vocation to follow Jesus everywhere, before everyone, at every time. Every step that we take is part of our walk, and the way we walk defines who we are. Now, I've had that tool sitting in this box the whole time. And in order for that tool to really work, it needs what's called a transformer. And the transformer is a massive power supply that enables that drill to actually be put into practice, as Colin is demonstrating here. One of the challenges that I face, if we go away from here today, and you go away from here today, we all go away from here, one of the challenges is going to be this. We believe in the word, we put it into practice. But at times it can feel hard, it can feel like drudgery, it can feel like hard work. But the only way that you are going to be able to put his word into practice, the only way that I'm going to be able to put his word into practice is through the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit's power in order to put his word into practice. And Colin is going to pick this drill up now. And because he's more of a practical person, and because he's a friend, the Holy Spirit is called our helper, our counselor, our comforter. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and enables us to know his power. So you cannot do this on your own. I cannot do this on my own. And as I need Colin to help connect the transformer to the drill, I need his help, and we need to do this together. And when you connect to the transformer, you get power. And when you get power, it makes a difference. And don't worry, the baptism tank is still there. He was doing that on hard case. But I want us to hear and see and feel the power that transformation has in our lives. And the only one, thank you, Colin, the only one that can bring us change, the only one that can bring us change is Jesus, is death through the cross being made known by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we receive that forgiveness in our life, we can go from here in the power of the Holy Spirit that we see other lives transformed for him. I'll ask the band to come up and I'll pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a gracious God, that in our weakness you allow us to understand your word, that you have come by your Spirit today, that you have spoken to us through your word, and that I want to pray for people right now, particularly that are facing storms, storms of the past, storms right now, storms that will come. And I pray that we would lean into you, rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to put our faith and trust in Jesus and know that you are with us in the storms. Come, we pray, Holy Spirit, seal your word in Jesus' name. Amen.